He's about to rally in Raleigh. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Former President Trump will start the last day of campaigning before the election in North Carolina, where supporters have lined up since 3 a.m.
He's for the everyday American, and we need that in a president who's here for us.
The former president will end his day in another toss-up state, Michigan. He'll also go to the biggest battleground prize, Pennsylvania, rallying in Reading and Pittsburgh. Vice President Harris will also be in that city before wrapping up a full day in Pennsylvania with a concert slash rally in Philadelphia.
She is relying on this star power to drive out that voter turnout. She'll have Oprah, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Ricky Martin, and Fat Joe performing and speaking today.
Fox's Brian Yenis in Allentown, where the vice president will also hold a rally.
Urging people to show up to vote tomorrow because the majority of the vote is still out there here in Pennsylvania. Vice President Harris is starting in Scranton. Today, she'll be knocking on doors there with canvassers and volunteers.
More than 77 million Americans have already voted early, nearly half the number of all ballots cast in 2020. There was election drama on TV over the weekend.
Hello to our great sports fans, and I hope you're having a fantastic time.
This ad released by the Trump campaign during NBC's NASCAR coverage and during Sunday Night Football. This comes after Brendan Carter, the top Republican on the FCC, criticized NBC for allowing the vice president to appear on Saturday Night Live ahead of Election Day without offering equal time to former President Trump.
That's Fox's Ryan Schmelz. More rain is falling on Spain, where search crews keep looking for people still missing in last week's flooding disaster that killed at least 217 people. They're doing storm damage cleanup in parts of Oklahoma, where at least 11 people were injured when tornadoes hit.
If I could describe anything about Oklahoma City, it's resilient. No matter what happens to us, we always rise up as a community.
Police Chief Ron Basie, more stormy weather forecast for today. America's listening to Fox News.
An official message from Medicare.
Medicare plans change from one year to the next. And this year, it's important for you to review your current coverage and compare all your options during Medicare open enrollment. Compare health plans, drug coverage, and costs. See if you can save some money, and don't forget to make sure your drugs are covered. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know, the big wireless companies want you to overpay for data that you don't need, but you don't have to settle for that with Pure Talk. Well, you get to choose how much data that you actually want. And for $25 a month, you'll get unlimited talk, unlimited text. You're going to get mobile hotspot, 5 gigs of data. Go with Pure Talk, and you get to choose how much data you actually want. Just dial #250, say the keyword save now. And if you do it now, you'll save an additional 50% off your first month.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACUMA.com studios. 560 KBLU.
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Zachary Moran-Norris. The Yuma County Narcotics Task Force found over $8,000 worth of drugs in a search warrant on Friday. The Yuma County Sheriff's Office says a 44-year-old man was arrested on 14 different charges, including possession of dangerous drugs for sale. The search warrant took place near the intersection of 9th Street and 15th Avenue in Yuma. Among some of the narcotics found were over 1,500 pills and powder containing fentanyl. And in other news, the annual Corn Fest took place in Somerton this weekend. A car show, food vendors, and of course plenty of corn were available. Different music acts were also performing throughout the day. And a new swap meet officially opened in Yuma County this weekend. The swap meet is located across from the Cocopah Casino, where vendors can sell items ranging from food to electronics. The swap meet is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Catch us on News 11 tonight at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
Serving on a jury is your constitutional right. So when you get your jury summons in the mail, respond and put your rights to work. It's really that simple. Arizona has increased juror pay. If your company doesn't pay for jury service and you're picked to serve in Superior Court, you'll get paid your lost wages up to $300 per day. Our courts are fair because you are there. Learn more at azcourts.gov/jury service. This message is sponsored by the Arizona Supreme Court.
El Dorado broadcasters in this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members.
DeNova Collaborative Health, La Bodega Kitchen and Bar, Watch Us Move, Grateful Enterprises, Elemental Life Spa, Back to Nature Learning Center, and Tacos Marlin.
If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Diana at yumachamber.org. That's Diana at yumachamber.org. Or call 928-782-2567.
The best way to win a race is with a head start. It's true all year round, but especially in November. That's why early voting is essential. And President Trump wants you to vote for Arizona Republican Carrie Lake. In the Senate, Lake will stand with President Trump to defeat the Democrats' radical agenda and protect Arizona. Carrie Lake will secure our border, finish the wall, provide Border Patrol agents with the equipment they need to keep us safe, kick criminal illegals out of our country, and Carrie Lake will ensure Arizona has what we need to prosper by securing new sources of water, improving infrastructure, delivery systems, and working with farmers to ensure they get the water they need. Support Trump-endorsed Republican Carrie Lake for U.S. Senate. Vote early today and help make America great again. Arizona's Voltera PAC, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.aidpac.com.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Law. I'm attorney Adam Hanson. I'm with Sean Garner, my partner in crime. And this is the day before the elections, ladies and gentlemen. Sean,
if
have
you voted? Listening to this live, otherwise it might be 5 years after the election and maybe America is hanging on by a thread.
Do you think so? The hope is that by tomorrow night we have the election results. Do you think that's going to happen?
No, definitely not.
Why?
I don't think we'll have the election results probably even at the end of the week of the election.
I thought this was democracy.
Yeah.
And every vote counts.
No, in fact, I was talking to Jasmine. She is a paralegal at our firm, and she said something that was really profound. And I think she just said it off the cuff, not even really thinking about it. But she said, if the people really decided who was going to be president, they wouldn't allow us to vote. And if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't.
But, I don't.
Okay.
I already told you that. You texted me that. I'm like,
yeah.
You said, you prefaced that with, she said something very profound, as if, first of all, you've never heard her say anything profound. And then secondly, I'm like, waiting for it.
Whoa.
I'm like, that's what she said?
Yeah, that is profound.
Say it again.
If the people really decided who would be president, they, the deep state, would not allow us to vote.
Okay.
So if the votes actually counted, they wouldn't allow us to vote.
I see.
And I've been saying that all along. I am an election denier. I think that the system is rigged. I believe that the states, the swing states, the Democratic Party, primarily right now, is focusing on what they need to do to get the election, the results that they need. And, for example, Michigan already came out and said they are not going to have the election results on Tuesday night.
Arizona said that as well.
Did they?
Yeah.
So
they said it might be 10 to 15 days. So
right.
They're laying the groundwork, right?
They're laying the groundwork to say, how do we need to calculate this? Because, and I've said for a long time, the only way Arizona goes for Harris is if the Democrats need Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
If the Democrats don't need Arizona, then they won't pull that lever of the machine to release the electoral votes that they need or the ballots they need. And so I really do feel like at this point it's all rigged. And we saw that in the election for governor 2 years ago. for some reason, there was this anomaly with the computers, and or not the computers, but the printers, where they were all printing out different sizes of the ballots, and those ballots weren't being counted, and those were on the election day, where primarily Republicans go out and vote. All the early ballots were fine, and there it wasn't just one printer issue. There was like 15 different printer issues. They were all totally different issues with totally different software concerns, and that is more than a coincidence. And that it resulted in hundreds of thousands of votes being put into question. So that happens again and again. It, you know, with Georgia, the voting machines down there, they had a big question as to whether or not there was internet access to the voting machines, meaning they could be tampered with through some outside source. And the fight for a long time was to get the actual voting machine and look at it and do an analysis to it to see whether or not it could be. And the Democrats, their fight was, no, we don't want to allow the subpoena of the machine to be granted. We don't want to give over the machine. Recently, there was a law passed in Georgia that all they wanted to do was count the amount of ballots that came out of the machine and make sure that the amount of votes cast by the machine were equal to the amount of ballots that came out of it, right? So if there's 1,500 put in, 1,500 come out, there's only 1,500 votes cast. If there's 1,600 votes cast, then that's a problem. They weren't even talking about what they were cast for, what candidate they were for. They're just saying, we just want to make sure that the paper that went in, the paper that comes out, matches the number that the machine cast. So we know that the machine isn't being corrupted at that level. And the Democratic Party fought that. And the court ruled in their favor, the trial court ruled in their favor that, yes, this was an undue burden on the Secretary of State to do this, and therefore they're not. It wasn't the Secretary of State that was against it. It was actually Fulton County, and so the county recorder didn't want to have to deal with that. And of course, Fulton County is the county of
Fannie Willis, good old Fannie.
And so, you know, we can trust Fannie to make sure things are done correctly down there. So why do we need to count the ballots that go out of the machine?
I don't understand the logic, and we've seen state by state some of these right-leaning states, they start to glean the, or purge, let's say, is a better word for it. You would purge the voting rolls of just, let's say, dead people.
Yeah.
It's verifiable. It seems to me that we know who's dead. So we should be able to purge those records. And state by state, we are seeing that they're being, these states are trying to purge their voter records, and it's just not happening. What would be the purpose of that? I mean, the Social Security Department knows who's dead. And it seems to me like a no-brainer. If you have dead people on the voter records, let's get them off. In Arizona, there has been a big movement. In fact, there's a lawsuit to remove 218,000 names because those individuals haven't verified their citizenship. And in fact, there's a news clip we want to play for.
And welcome back to Square Off. Will the November election be won in the courts? Before the first ballot was ever cast, dozens of lawsuits have been filed nationwide to influence who can vote and how you vote. Our swing state's courts have been very busy over the last year. At least two lawsuits here in Maricopa County could make an impact on our election.
I feel very strongly that got to earn every vote.
The winner of the White House could be decided by voters in just seven swing states.
We're going to win Arizona.
But the nation's courts could play a larger role in this election than at any time since the U.S. Supreme Court decided Bush versus Gore in 2000. By one count, at least 165 lawsuits have been filed since last year across 37 states. The suits challenge every detail of the November vote. More than 80 of those suits were filed in swing states. And here in battleground Arizona, 12 News tracked 11 lawsuits in just the last 10 months.
I did see the people sitting over there with GoPros on their head, and that was a little weird.
One ruling to watch, a Maricopa County Superior Court judge struck down safeguards against intimidation at the polls, declaring them unconstitutional. During the 2022 midterm election, people with video cameras recorded voters at ballot drop boxes.
We'll come and we'll babysit polling sites because people have to misbehave if that's what we have to do to protect democracy.
Armed men in tactical gear were on patrol. One pending lawsuit could prompt a post-election challenge. claiming that non-citizens' votes decided a close race. A Trump-aligned legal firm wants a judge to order Secretary of State Adrian Fontes to release the names of 218,000 voters. Those longtime voters never verified their citizenship as required by Arizona law because of a 20-year-old glitch in the voter registration database. There might not be a ruling before Election Day.
All of the indicators suggest to me that something fishy is going on. So I'm a parent, and if my kids come in and they've got their hands in their pocket and they're looking suspicious, I say, hey, what's in your pocket? And if they say nothing, then I may say, show me your pockets. Or if they say, well, I've got some coins in there, and they pull it out and show me, then okay, all is well. And it's like they're hiding something if they look suspicious and they don't want to show you what's in their pocket. As the public, we should know what's going in the ballots, what's coming out of the ballots. Why doesn't the Democratic Party want us to know what's coming out of the ballots in Georgia? I don't understand why you would not want to count the ballots. The argument was that it was too big of a burden to count the paper ballots coming out of the machine. That is the most ridiculous argument I've ever heard. And another issue that comes up a lot is voter ID, that somehow it's racist. I think it's racist to suggest that minorities can't get IDs just as well as anybody else. I think that's the most racist thing I've ever heard, that they don't have the capacity to get an ID, and to allege that something as important as a presidential election should be decided by individuals that don't have to show ID, where you have to show ID to buy cough syrup, of course, get on an airplane, to drive a car, you know, if you get pulled over or any type of situation like that. My major concern is, why do we have the most remedial issues being fought? For example, voter ID. It is not racist to have an ID. It's a ridiculous notion to say that it is. To have an ID would be the basic minimum to demonstrate that the vote is being held fairly. Why do we not want to count the ballots that are coming out of the machine? That seems to be the very minimum requirement to demonstrate that the vote is being done fairly. Why is the question that's most focused on during the presidential debate is whether Donald Trump is going to accept the results regardless. And when he answers, as long as it's fair, then everybody goes crazy and acts as if he's some type of radical that wants to overthrow the peaceful transfer of power. It's not radical to say, I want a fair contest. I want to demonstrate that the systems, because we know that there's a lot of complexities going on with the voting, and regardless of your faith in the system in general, you've got to acknowledge that there are complexities there with all these moving parts, every state having its different laws regarding the voting. And he says, as long as it's fair, as long as we can demonstrate that it's fair. And I don't understand why that is an answer to be challenged. For example, if I'm given a multiple choice question or test, and the examiner says, now, before I give you this test, I want you to swear that you are going to accept the grade that I give you. Why would you even ask that question? If they ask that question like that, I would say, well, I mean, can we go over the answers afterwards? Can we verify that the answers that I put down are accurate, that the Scantron, if we're using something like that, you know, was working properly, that my number two pencil was properly being picked up on the machine? Because those types of issues have occurred a lot of times on standardized tests. And so I want some type of validation that the test that I'm giving was graded accurately. So if you're going to ask me 100%, am I going to accept the results of the test? My answer is going to be, as long as everything was shown to be done appropriately, then yes. But the fact that you asked that question kind of makes me a little bit defensive.
Who doesn't have an ID in our society? If you're participating in our society, you have a government-issued ID. Is there someone that doesn't? I don't understand that argument. When we see, like, Arizona tried this. We tried to implement a voter ID law, and those always tend to be struck down for constitutionality. And I don't understand that argument. It's like, well, you're making it you're disenfranchising these individuals that don't have an ID. Who doesn't have an ID?
Yeah. And
like
why?
What person does not have an ID? You have to have an ID to participate in life as an American citizen. I have to have an ID. I went to the bank last week. I mean, rarely do we go to the bank anymore, but I went to the bank for our office for a business reason, and I had to show my ID. What else did I have to? Just recently, I just did something.
You get on a plane, you go to an airport.
Yeah, I did that. I had to show my ID. I had to.
It was something. Spray paint?
It was something where they're
if
like.
If you buy spray paint, you have to have an ID.
ID. Yeah, so it was something that just kind of got me off guard. They're like, oh, can I see your ID? And he had to match my name to something. And I'm like, well, that's whatever, you know.
You do a return at Walmart.
Yeah.
Got to have an ID.
ID. ID. But not to vote. You can do anything. You don't have to prove who you are to vote, even though that's one of our most sacred held duties and responsibilities in a free society. I don't have to prove who I am.
And that's why that saying that Jaslyn said is so profound, that if the votes actually counted, they wouldn't allow us to vote, because honestly, there are so many variables and they want to keep it that there's too many unknown variables for us to actually pinpoint where the vote got off, that they can call the election with whatever, I don't know, I got to think of the word.
It's like a technicality, you know?
Yes. They can implement any type of technicality or shenanigans that they have in their back pocket, and they have time to implement those, but they got to know when and how, because they don't want to use the ace up the sleeve unless they have to.
Right.
But if they have to, they will. And, you know, in 2020, Georgia went dark for 3 hours, right? And after midnight, it was dark for about 3 hours. And then at 3 a.m., a gazillion votes came in, and overwhelmingly, they were for Biden. And that alone should stink enough for us to say, we got to sniff this out and figure out what the issue is. And somebody's doing something wrong.
I have the solution to all this, and I've told you this before, but it's a two-step process. Number one, we make November 5th a national holiday. So voting day is a national holiday that we all have off. It's a federal recognized holiday. No mail, no work. We all get to go to the polls. And then that's the second part of it. We all have to go to the polls. You have to physically go down and vote.
Absolutely.
On paper. And then that gets scanned.
And of course, the argument is going to be it's discriminatory against people that have handicaps or people that are too poor to drive down to the voting station, but have no problem making it to Circle K or wherever else.
Exactly. They get their cigs.
Yeah. So,
a Martine.
So,
not that you're one of those Martines.
I love it. You know, with, you know, India, they show people that are proud when they got the right to vote and they were recognized and had the privilege to go and vote. They would hold up their finger and it was dyed. And I didn't know this, but Thomas pointed it out. I thought that they would dip their finger to put a fingerprint on their ballot. He said, no, they dip their finger in ink, so it's obvious that they voted and they can't go and vote again. And so it identifies that they've already participated.
Yeah.
And in Iraq, we saw that as well. Dip my finger in some ink. I want to show people that I voted. I want to hold up my finger high that I voted, that I'm one of those privileged people that can actually afford an ID to go through all of the rigorous requirements to acquire an ID. And I jumped through that gauntlet to exercise my right to vote for a president.
So is the deep state controlling things? Patrick Bet-David has it's a really good argument. And we're going to look at that when we come back. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
We have got a sunny and windy Monday shaping up with 74, the high this afternoon, 49 tonight. Winds gusting up to 20 miles per hour today. Less wind tomorrow on Election Day. Beautiful day. Sunny and 79, 52 tomorrow night. Winds pick up again on Wednesday. Sunny and 73 that day.
This house seems very hot. Ugh, the AC is blowing hot air.
Call Air Solutions of Yuma for residential and commercial HVAC services. They'll repair, do maintenance and installations with their experienced and professional technicians. Air Solutions of Yuma can help your air temperature and quality to make all the difference in this heat. Local authorized Bryant dealer. Contact them today. Air Solutions of Yuma. Find them on Facebook or call for an appointment. 928-627-1343. Air Solutions of Yuma will cool you down.
4 years. That's how long it took Democrats to ruin our economy and plunge our southern border into anarchy. Who helped them hurt us? Ruben Gallego. Washington could have cut taxes for Arizona families, but Ruben blocked the bill. And his fellow Democrats gave a bigger break to the millionaire class in California and New York. They played favorites and cost us billions. And Ruben wasn't done yet. Democrats could have secured the border. Instead, they invited an invasion and used our tax dollars to pay for it. Ruben Gallego even backed the law to let them vote in our elections. Don't give Gallego and the Democrats another 4 years to hurt us. Give your support to a real Arizona leader, Carrie Lake. Carrie and the Republicans will secure the border, support our families, and never turn their backs on us. Carrie Lake for Senate.
I'm Carrie Lake, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Carrie Lake for Senate and the NRSC.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game. Marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? YumaAdvertising.com. That's YumaAdvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals? Always. There's nothing like Sprague Sports. With local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. And there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training classes, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter's Education, and more. Sprague's handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has 15 lanes of certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. That's Sprague Sports, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Responsible gun ownership since 1956. 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. Patrick McDavid is one of those that I listen to regularly. I think he's got a really good take. I think that he recognizes his bias and he says it outright. But then he tries as much as possible to give a balanced analysis. And he has people from the left, right, whoever is willing to participate on a show on. And so he talks a little bit here about the deep state. And this is something I think he probably gleaned from our show. I know he's an avid listener because I've said for a long time that the reason that people don't want Donald Trump so much, or at least the establishment doesn't want Donald Trump, is because he can't be controlled. I don't think they would be putting up near the fight if this was Nikki Haley or Tim Scott. And it's not just because of identity politics either, because a woman or a black man. I think that they both come from the establishment. They probably both have skeletons in the closet. We certainly know Nikki Haley does because it came out during her campaign. And that's what the establishment wants. They want the strings attached to their candidate that they can pull whenever they want, because they don't want the candidate individually and independently making decisions. So Patrick spells this out as well.
Well, so when you say establishment, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the FBI. I'm talking about the CIA. I'm talking about
administrative agencies.
The administrative agencies that aren't elected individuals that are actually running everything, not the elected officials.
So what have we seen in our American history of individuals? Can you name one off the top of your head, Sean?
Sure. So we've got JFK, right?
Okay.
He was anti-establishment.
He was a Democrat.
He was a Democrat. We have...
Why do you say
Robert Kennedy?
Why was he anti-establishment?
I think that he couldn't be told what to do. I think he demonstrated on many occasions that he wasn't going to go just along with whatever the general's chief of staff told him to do. For example, they wanted to bomb Cuba when they found out that there were potential nuclear missiles being shipped there. Now, they found out afterwards that not only had the missiles already arrived and been assembled, but they were ready to launch, and so it was darn good thing they didn't bomb Cuba. Mm-hmm. It could have also ignited the Third World War and full-out hot war with Russia or Soviet Union at the time. And he didn't want to do the Bay of Pigs. That plan was already established and in play when he was sworn into office. And they said, it's already a go. It's going to be a done deal. We're going to have this CIA-backed guerrilla force of Cubans go into Cuba, and they're going to start this revolution, and it's going to be an American-friendly government that comes out of it. And he says, I really don't think this is a good idea. He was pressured by his generals. It happened, and we know what the result is with the Bay of Pigs. It was a big disgrace. It failed terribly. And so what he demonstrated during the Cuban Missile Crisis was an ability to make a decision independent of what the deep state wanted. And that, I think, cost him his life.
Okay.
If you think about the anti-establishment candidates, let's go through a list of them. Lincoln was anti-establishment. His own party didn't want to stop slavery, and his own party, the other side, definitely didn't want it. Democrats didn't want to stop them, but Republicans were also like, hey, leave it alone. What are you doing? Now I'm doing it. Anti-establishment candidate, one of the greatest presidents of all time, Ronald Reagan, anti-establishment. What happened to him? John F. Kennedy, anti-establishment. What happened to him? His brother, Bobby Kennedy, anti-establishment. What happened to him? MLK, anti-establishment. What happened to him? Donald Trump, anti-establishment. What happened to him? How many times? Now watch this. Let's go through establishment candidates. Ready? Obama. What happened to him? Protected. Biden, protected. Clinton, protected. Senior, protected. GW, protected. Carter, protected. You go through a list of establishment, they're protected. You go list of anti-establishment, they either kick you out first and force you to resign, like they did with Nixon, which he shouldn't have resigned.
Is America ready for an anti-establishment wave unlike anything we've seen? Patrick Bet-David breaks down the history of rebels like Lincoln, Reagan, JFK, MLK, and Trump, and the price they paid for defying the status quo. In contrast, establishment candidates protected, preserved, and kept in line. But what happens when unexpected alliances start forming? Patrick unveils the connections between Trump, Tucker, Elon, and even RFK Jr. and Vivek, showing how the powerful are uniting with outsiders. Could this November 5th reveal the ultimate showdown? Buckle up. This might be the political shakeup of the century.
They don't like anti-establishment candidates. They don't, because it cannot be controlled. And unfortunately and fortunately, this guy cannot be controlled. They don't like that. They want you to be like this. We're going to make you the president. No, seriously? Yes. You're going to have documentaries, books written about you, movies made about you, history books are going to write about you, your family for the rest of your life. It's done. Your name is cemented in the history books. Oh my God, babe, listen. But I swear to God, if you don't do everything we ask you to do, we know everything about your past. And by the way, those two things you just thought about that you don't think we know about, we know about. We will destroy you. So you have to make a decision right now. If you want to be a regular guy and not be a president, don't do this. But if you do this and we ask you to do anything, you say no once, we know exactly what we're going to do next. Do not be surprised. We will destroy you. I don't have a desire to be a president. That person's going to say that. Whoever, this is like a Nancy Pelosi or Schumer. Those are not the people that are going to be the president. Schumer's boring. Pelosi doesn't have it to be a president. These are the puppet masters behind closed doors. I'm not trying to be a president. You're the president. They'll forget about me. I'm just the Speaker of the House. They forget about him. But you will be permanent because there's only 45, 46, 47 of you guys. But God forbid we ask you to do something and you don't. Do you want to do this or no? And you shake hands and make a deal with the devil. About a month after Tucker Carlson got fired from Fox News, this is May, June of last year, I said alliances are being made. And I said this on podcasts and multiple interviews on different podcasts. I said, I believe there's an alliance being made with Trump, Tucker, and Musk. And I said, Musk is going to be the tipping point. At the time, Musk was not pro-Trump. Musk and Trump had a problem together. Trump even called him something. He said he's an artist. Behind closed doors, he said this and that. He's a all this stuff, right? They had feud. And what happened all of a sudden? An alliance happens with Tucker and Elon. Then an alliance happens with Tucker and Trump. It was always there, but it got even stronger. Then all of a sudden, Elon brings Trump on X, interviews him, gets nearly a billion views. Are you kidding me? And then he says, I'm going to give you $45 million a month for the rest of the 4 months. Not to him, but to Super PAC. And then now he's saying he's going to go out there and campaign for him. And he speaks at Butler or whatever the city was. I believe it was Butler. So now you got Elon. Now Trump just said he's going to agree on going on Rogan. Wait, you got Tucker, Elon. You got all these guys supporting. Everyone's coming together. You got RFK, Bobby on the other side. You got Vivek. You got J.D. Vance. You got Peter Thiel. Are you serious? Yes. You just had the Border Patrol unions. You just had the fact that 97% of the money they give to Democrats, the union that they've had, they're now saying they're not going to be voting for anybody. They're not taking a position. Yes. They haven't seen something like this in a while. And the November 5th could be very likely, could be, not saying it's going to be. If things go the way they are like this for Kamala, you're going to know who the winner is very early on November 5th. You're not going to have to wait too long. It could happen like this. Boom. And they can't play any games. And it's over. And if you thought in 2016, where everybody was crying, berserk, emotional, losing their minds, this is going to be that times 10 if it happens this year on November 5th.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
There's one thing that I disagree with that he said there is that we're going to know right away. I don't think that we're going to know right away with this election. I think that it's going to take by minimum a week in order to know the outcome of the election. But he thinks it's going to happen. You're going to know right away. That is if it's a blowout. I've lost faith that Trump couldn't even win. I lost that faith years ago because I saw that both establishments were against him, the Republican establishment and the Democratic establishment. There was a very robust Republican primary where we had some great candidates. In fact, I preferred several of them over Trump. I preferred Vivek Ramaswamy. I preferred Ron DeSantis. Certainly didn't prefer Nikki Haley, but I would have accepted her. The reason being is because I thought that the Republican Party was a better option than the Democrat Party, and I didn't think Trump could win because the establishment is on both sides, both Republican and Democratic, and they're all against Trump. Now, would I want Trump to win because he's anti-establishment? Yes, 100%. But I just don't think it can happen. And I guess I was settling for the lesser of two evils in that sense, establishment Republican versus, establishment Democrat.
So tomorrow we might have a winner right off the bat. That's what Patrick Bet David is arguing. But I understood him to say if it's a blowout, like he thinks there's going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think the polls have been showing up to this point, you know, 50-50, 51-49.
Well, but they're far greater than they ever have been. In the 2016 election, sure. he was never going to win. He was, you know, like a 10-1 underdog. In the 2020 election, he was still an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
This, they're saying, oh, yeah, he's got a 50-50 chance. And I don't know, you know, if there's some type of hidden agenda behind that to get out the vote more, to say, right. Listen, you guys can't be complacent that Kamala's going to win. We've done our job as the press to prop her up as somebody that's actually a viable candidate. Now you guys got to go out there and put in some votes so our mechanism doesn't look as corrupt as it is.
I don't know. I mean, when you listen to that clip, it makes sense, but I don't know if it's part of me is like, it sounds conspiracy theorist, you know?
Well, let's
But I get it. I can track the logical inclination, but it's like, are these backroom, who knows if these backroom conversations are actually happening? That's what he's presenting is like,
yeah,
we're going to these people and we're orchestrating this whole grand master plan. I don't know if that's happening.
So here's some issues that I want to bring up, just like the test issue, right? Where the instructor or the proctor or whoever is issuing the test says, are you going to accept the results regardless? Are you going to accept the results? Well, here's another thing. He named a lot of presidents that were shot. Reagan, you know, we forget that Reagan was shot less than 70 days, just over 2 months after he was elected. And that should have killed him. The shot was right to his chest, right below his heart. I mean, that should have got him. And it didn't. It failed. Trump was shot, you know, inches from being a headshot and getting in his brain and killing him. And then, you know, he's not protected again on his own golf course. And he should have been assassinated again there. Or at least there was an attempted assassination that they didn't even call an assassination. So these attempts out there make it so blatant. And another thing is the villainization of Elon Trump. Time magazine comes out and it's got, you know, Trump's face with an overlay with a peel out of Elon's underneath of it, and it says public enemy number two. Why is Elon Musk, the most brilliant mind of our time, probably of our generation and maybe generations to come, this is going to be a guy that goes down in the history book for the evolution to the next level of human civilization, and he's public enemy number one. He's provided everything that the left wants. He's provided the electric cars. He's mm-hmm. provided the solar panels. He's provided the affordable communications by putting satellites into space and then making it affordable to everybody. He says any country that demonstrates a need and not the ability to have communications can use Starlink for free. Yet they villainize this guy for one purpose only. Originally, it was that he freed Twitter from censorship. He hasn't censored any voices on the left. He's not doing to them what they're doing to us in that censoring political speech. But that is why they villainized Elon Musk. That's why they villainized Joe Rogan. That's why they villainized Russell Brand. All these people who are traditionally left-leaning individuals as far as their political beliefs, they stand by the First Amendment, and they want the First Amendment to be killed. And what I'm saying right now, this speech, they want to classify as misinformation, that the elections have even the potential of being rigged. They don't want that to be put out there on YouTube. They don't want that to be put out there on Facebook or any other social media platform. Why can't I say that that's a possibility, right? That is what free speech is all about. But that is misinformation that should be censored according to the Harris Biden administration.
So what happens tomorrow? Let's say that it is a blowout in Trump's favor. It's going to be really actually kind of hilarious because now they've painted themselves, the liberals have painted themselves into this box because for 4 years they've been saying anybody that denies that 2020 was the most
free and fair election
with least amount of problems without, you know, our elections are perfect. Well, now you're kind of stuck. You have to accept that election, you know, and it'll be interesting to see what goes on. I'm secretly hoping that happens because it's going to be kind of comical.
That what happens?
That Trump blows it. There is no, like Patrick Bet David said, there is no way to cheat. Like, let's say that they did in 2020.
Yeah.
They stuffed the ballot boxes and things like that. multiple times. You've got these nonprofit organizations set up, and if you've seen that movie, is 2000 Mules?
Yeah, 2000 Mules.
So what they did was they bought GPS tracking data of cell phones, and they were able to identify cell phone holders that would wake up in the morning, go from their apartment to a nonprofit organization, and then to a ballot box. Next day, they would get up, go to a nonprofit organization, then to a ballot box. So they're making multiple drops in this ballot box, which, you know, and that it's the same concept of using this GPS location and data was all of a sudden inaccurate or unreliable when Dinesh D'Souza came out with this film, 2000 Mules. But yet they were using that same technology because it's perfect technology when it comes to prosecuting those of January 6th that were inside the Capitol. I read.
Not only that, but a shooting that happened in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They solved a murder because a person that had his phone on him.
Pinging the cell phone, the only one that was in the vicinity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they use this routinely to nail murderers and things like that. You can see that they were burying a body over here because we got you pinging your cell phone where we found the body
at that time. And we know that the burden there is beyond a reasonable doubt in order to convict. And with that technology, you get to that level of burden of proof. Here, we're just saying there is a possibility of cheating, and they're saying you can't say that. That is where it gets ridiculous. If they said, yeah, you can say that, you can discuss it, but we can also expose you for being crazy because we're going to demonstrate that it is fair and that it is a clean election, great. But the fact that they say, I can't even say it, that is the biggest red flag. That is the biggest warning sound I've ever can have, because it's like my kid holding their hands in their pockets saying, I got nothing, and doesn't want to show them the pockets.
We have one more clip that we want to show you to end our show. This is Jordan Peterson, and I think it's a really good preface to going to the polls tomorrow. If you haven't voted yet, you're planning to go vote tomorrow, because this is where Jordan Peterson draws a contrast between a conservative-type mindset and a liberal-type mindset. We'll talk about that in just a minute after this.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
Some businesses here are simply for the birds. Winter, spring, summer, or fall. All you have to do is call or come by Southwest Lumber. Voted Yuma's best year after year because we are here for you all year, no matter the season, and for all of your home improvement reasons. We are your hometown hardware store, proudly serving the do-it-yourselfers in Yuma County since 1973. Find us on Facebook. Call 928-782-9867 or stop by and see us. You're always welcome at Southwest Lumber, 1917 South Avenue B, Yuma, Arizona, 85364.
This is Representative Tim Dunn. The out-of-state Democrat machine doesn't understand Yuma County. They are focused entirely on abortion, which is already legal in the first 15 weeks. Democrats want abortion until birth and want to change the subject away from their failure to secure the border. I have heard from you loud and clear. You want a secure border, support for law enforcement, and your God-given rights protected. Please vote for conservative values that puts your family first. God bless.
Paid for by Tim Dunn for Arizona State Senate and authorized by Tim Dunn.
560 KBLU.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and the Law. I'm Sean Garner, attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. This is Adam Hanson, and we're in studio. We're talking about the upcoming election. If you're hearing this after the fact, it's still relevant information because it talks about societal issues and how should we address them? Should we address them on an individual basis? Should we address them on a national political basis? So one of those issues is climate change. And there's a big argument that we have to get the government involved with climate change, because if we don't, individually, none of us is going to have enough power to do anything. And it's going to be ineffective. So we need the government to step in to implement these huge policies. Jordan Peterson disagrees with that. I disagree with it as well, because Number one, I think that climate change is more akin to a religion than a science because it's ever changing and people follow it zealously like religious practitioners, that it's regardless of its changing forms, they are devout to the cause of whatever is being pushed for the climate change. It's existential threat, which I don't even know what that means. What's an existential threat? And so I don't believe that the intent of the government in getting involved in climate change is pure. I think that there's some ulterior motive, and that is to get more control and have a bigger need for government in itself. Government is in business to be bloated and to control people, and if people are self-sustaining and self-sufficient, we don't need government.
I think so. This clip that we're going to play for you goes into that with Jordan Peterson, but it also has a little bit of a tail end that goes deeper into the differences or the mindset of liberal thinking and conservative thinking and the contrast there. Really, it comes down to making myself better. That way I can help others around me, as opposed to focusing so much on everything else around me when I don't even have my own house in order. That's what the concept is.
So what is your advice to young people when you talk about you need to be individually responsible, but when there are things that are so far out of our control, like climate catastrophe, like the precarious job economy, like
Do you think that you're worse off than your grandparents?
I think there are different challenges.
Do you think you're worse off than your grandparents? The argument, I think, is that individual responsibility does not change the climate, does not fix the problem that needs global collective responsibility. So I think that's the core of the question. Do you have a theory about that?
Well, fundamentally, I'm a psychologist, and my experience has been that people can do a tremendous amount of good for themselves and for the people who are immediately around them by looking to their own inadequacies and their own flaws and the things that they're not doing in their lives and starting to build themselves up as more powerful individuals. And if they're capable of doing that, and then they're capable of expanding their career. And if they're capable of expanding their career and their competence, then they're capable of taking their place in the community as effective leaders. And then they're capable of making wise decisions instead of unwise decisions when it comes to making collective political decisions. I'm not suggesting in the least, and have never suggested, that there's no domain for social action. I'm suggesting that people who don't have their own houses in order should be very careful before they go about reorganizing the world, which happens in many ways.
If a young person believes that the climate, the global warming problem on the climate is something that needs to be tackled quickly and they can't wait until they grow up and become prime ministers to do it, do you think collective responsibility overrides individual responsibility in a huge issue like that?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I think generally people have things that are more within their personal purview that are more difficult to deal with and that they're avoiding, and that generally the way they avoid them is by adopting pseudo-moralistic stances on large-scale social issues so that they look good to their friends and their neighbors. That's what it looks like.
Jordan Peterson is one of those that he's hyper-intellectual. And sometimes it's hard to understand his points because he uses long and difficult words to understand. But he's generally worked his way around the argument three or four times as you're still conceptualizing the question that's being asked. And if you dissect his analysis, he's brilliant. He is one of the great thinkers of our time. And he really advocates for free speech. So that is the only way to expose the best ideas and the fraud that permeates our society. Yet he has now been, he's a Canadian. He's indicated on many times that he would vote for Trump if he was American and had the privilege to vote for him, but he's not American, and he's not going to come in here illegally and vote for him, so he doesn't have that opportunity. But by his own country, he's been villainized. In fact, he was prosecuted recently, and his license to practice psychology was taken away because he refused to go through some DEI training that helped him become less white or acknowledge his white privilege and acknowledge why it's better to accept people of other races and other genders and focus on those identity politics in accepting who he advocates for instead of looking at simply the character of the individual. And since he refused to do that, they took away his license to practice in the area of psychology. And that just shows how far gone Canada is. Europe is right on par with Canada. He is standing up a large part for America because he feels that, like so many others, that is the last great hope for a free society around the world.
So when you go to the polls tomorrow, if you haven't voted already, keep these things in mind and definitely go to the polls. Your vote matters. That's all the time we have. We'll talk to you next week. This is Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Want to hear more Life, Death, and the Law? You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, or any other platform you listen to your podcasts.
Our Arizona Corporation Commissioners make water choices that impact us all, whether our children are forced to time their showers, whether we rip up gardens or store away bathwater. This reality may be closer than we think. You have the power to decide who leads Arizona's water future. You can protect this precious resource by voting in the ACC election. Make your voice heard this election year for your children, our families, our future. Paid for by Environmental Defense Fund.
Get ready, Yuma. It's the Fort Yuma Penitentiary Pint Fest, November 9th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the historic Yuma Territorial Prison. Enjoy live music by Big Boss Band and sample from 25 regional breweries. Fort Yuma Rotary wants to say thank you to our title sponsor, El Charro Cafe. It's an evening you won't want to miss. Tickets are going fast, so grab yours today. Yuma Pint Fest at Eventbrite.com. Enjoy. Join us for a night of brews, tunes, and history. Also sponsored in part by Safeline, Burgers and Beer, D&H Electric, Yuma Insurance, and El Dorado Broadcasters.
Hi, this is Tony Driscoll, Vice President, General Manager of El Dorado Broadcasters. If you're the owner and or operator of a local business, I'd like you to hire us. Yes, I'd like you to add 560 KBLU to your team. For what it costs you for hourly employees, like that guy that at this very moment is leaning back in his chair, staring aimlessly, or the gal checking her Facebook page for the 17th time today, you could be reaching out to thousands of listeners with a positive message about your business. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to bust you out like that, but hey, get back to work. If you want to reach the people listening to the radio right now, just like you are, give me a call at 928-344-4980. And if I'm not leaning back in my chair, staring aimlessly, or checking my Facebook page, I'll answer your call and we can talk about us going to work for you. 344-4980.
El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer.
A dream trip to one of the wonders of the world. Brought to you by a different kind of wonder. A light bulb moment in the classroom. Made possible by a quick second in the clinic. We're doing the things we enjoy with the people we love thanks to safe and effective flu and COVID vaccines. Talk with your healthcare provider or pharmacist, get your questions answered, and schedule vaccination for your family today because there is fun to be had and memories to be made. This message brought to you by the American Hospital Association.
The song asks, why is the rich man busy dancing while the poor man pays the band? A home warranty doesn't climb on the roof to fix an AC. The AC man does. In AC service, avoid the middleman. Call your neighbor, the AC contractor, or call Air Central Heating and Cooling today.
Our connections make powerful things happen, uniting individuals and communities. We are Rotary. We are people of action. With over 1 million members, we know what people can do when they come together. Find out more at rotary.org/action.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU El Dorado Broadcasters LLC nor its affiliates nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.